Hi there, I'm Corey.
And I'm Lane. If y'all are looking for a little American magic,
then put away your athames and wands and dig out your box of roots, stones, and bones.
This is New World Butchery.
Hey, this is Francesca.
And this is Dagon.
We're the Texan Heretics, and here's our two cents on New Orleans. Favorite things.
Well, we like the cemeteries, because they were really cool.
The cemeteries were awesome. Yeah,
totally
definitely
different.
Way different from what we have here. The history there was pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And
big houses. Gotta like the Garden District.
The Garden District was awesome.
If only we had enough money to live there.
Oh, that'd be nice. Things that people should try while they're in New Orleans?
Any of the food.
The they have, like, food awesome is food. Epic.
Some a little étouffée, some gumbo. Amazing stuff.
Absolutely. I think I liked everything I ate while I was in New Orleans.
Yeah, it was all pretty good. Missed out on the beignets this time, but definitely getting those next time.
Yep, that's definitely on our list.
Yeah.
What else did we miss? Oh, the cathedrals.
Yes.
There's a couple of cathedrals we wanted to see that were big and pretty and awesome, but we didn't get to go in.
Yeah. They were either having mass or weddings. That was the main one in the French Quarter. Gorgeous cathedral. What I saw of it was gorgeous anyway, but
yeah,
definitely want to stop in and take pictures next time.
So, yeah, hit the cemeteries and the food and I think that was our trip to New Orleans.
Pretty much. I mean, anything you do there is going to be fun. Just check out the sights. Gorgeous old world city.
Well, that's us. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
Hallelujah. Yes, yes.
Hello!
Hey, Lane, where are you?
I'm in New Orleans. Where are you?
I'm in New Orleans, too! Oh my god! That's so fun. So why are we here?
The Pagan Potkin Superboot.
Yes, that's right. Number 4. We are recording live from our hotel room at Pagan Potkin Supermoot, number 4, in beautiful New Orleans, Louisiana. So tonight, this is kind of a sort of a special episode. What we're going to do is go over New Orleans, kind of the way that I did Memphis a little while ago. It's a kind of a sound seeing tour. We're going to sort of mentally revisit and talk about the things that we've done this weekend because it's been an action packed weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Done a lot of stuff.
A lot.
and then kind of talk about some of the highlights. Hopefully we'll have some other little things popping in and out to break it up so it's not just us talking about how awesome this weekend was the whole time. So we'll just, I guess, go from there.
Okay.
So, yeah, where should we start?
I guess we should start with just our trip.
Okay.
We left on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Got here about time for dinner, so I did a search on Foursquare for local places to eat, you know, that sounded good, and it directed us to a place called Yo Mama's Bar and Grill, which was down in the French Quarter, or close to it at least, and it recommended a peanut butter and bacon burger.
Mm-hmm.
And Corey and I were both skeptical, but we decided to try it. And it was actually pretty good.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I don't think I'd eat one again.
I would be willing to do it again. It's not something I'd eat regularly.
But it was good. The peanut butter was surprising, but
it worked. Like, yeah. The sweet with the salty just kind of worked all together. We were also very tired and hungry. We'd had a long trip into town at that point. And it was just interesting because it was our first night in the French Quarter. We had no idea where we were going, what we were doing. And we drive in. We find parking.
Immediately.
Like, immediately. No problem at all. Parallel park on the street. Get out. Go to the bar. And again, it is, you know, it's essentially in the French Quarter. And we have a problem getting in or out. We have a really good time. We have no idea how lucky we were at that point.
It was a Wednesday night, so there wasn't that much going on.
Since then, we have realized that finding that kind of parking in the French Quarter, no crowds, nothing to deal with, is no small miracle. But it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't think we did much else that night.
We just kind of walked around and
looked at some things.
Yeah.
Yeah, walking seemed to have been a theme this weekend.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, my feet are killing me, but it's okay. What else? So the next day, what do we do?
Next day we got up. Before we even got to New Orleans, I had done some reading and some research and talked to people who'd been here. And you know, I've always wanted to come to this town. I should really probably start with why New Orleans.
Yeah.
You know, I think it'll make a lot of sense to folks. Every year we get to do these Pagan Podcast Super meetups. And this year we tried to expand it to include some more bloggers and things like that. But just due to circumstances, we wound up with it. Essentially just Podkin here again.
Mm-hmm.
several new Podkins, so that was a lot of fun. But it wound up being essentially just Podkin. And this year I got to be the organizer. I got to do a lot of the planning and the arrangements and do sort of the coordination with the hotels and things like that. Velma Nightshade from Witch's Brouhaha and Inciting a Brouhaha has done the lion's share of the work in previous years. But last year she let me help out with some of it, and so I got a feel for what it was. And then this year it was kind of all mine. And since I got to choose, I was like, well, we did Chicago, and we did Salem, which was really, really awesome. It's definitely a witchy city.
Mm-hmm.
Then we did San Francisco, which had more magical stuff in it than I, you know, would have at first thought. But then I was at this point where I was like, you know, I've never been to New Orleans. I knew you hadn't really been to New Orleans,
Nope, never.
And I knew a couple of other folks who'd never been to New Orleans, and I thought, well, if you're going to go for magical cities or cities with a magical history, there's, you know, maybe a dozen in the United States that are worth checking out, and New Orleans is right there at the top of the list. So, picked that, put that together, and we wound up with about as big a group as we've ever had.
Yeah.
Coming in for this, many of whom who had never been here.
Yeah, so that was really nice, and I felt like the weekend went really well overall.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I mean, it was really fun to like get to meet everybody. So anyway, pick New Orleans. We want to kind of get a feel for it and explore it. And so, all that being said, I'd done some research on New Orleans before getting here, and so I had this like short list of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And one of which was beignets at Café du Monde.
Yes,
I really, really wanted that. For those who don't know, can you describe beignets a little bit?
Beignets are these pastries, but they're a little bit heavier than I thought they'd be.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I thought they would be a little bit flakier. I guess they're kind of like French donuts is how they describe them. Mm-hmm. With a bunch of powdered sugar on them. So to me, they're basically just funnel cakes.
Mm-hmm.
With being
funnely.
Yeah, without the funneliness.
Yes. Yeah, and then they you get them at this famous cafe called Café du Monde, which is down by the riverside.
Mm-hmm. In the French Quarter. Been there for a very long time.
Yes. And they have a special type of coffee, which is made with chicory root, which is a type of wild, I mean, it's kind of an herb, I guess. You see it categorized with herbs a lot, but the root can be roasted, sort of like dandelion root can be roasted, and you can use it as a substitute for coffee. Well, I think it was back during the Civil War, they didn't have a lot of, you know, they would have blockades and things like that on the ports, and they could coffee, and so they started using chicory root in place of coffee. Well, people here discovered they really liked the taste of chicory root, especially blended with the coffee, because it's got a really good, dark, bitter flavor. And so the Café du Monde makes a chicory root and coffee blend that you can get with your beignets, and that was good.
That's what you got?
Well, I got...
Oh, no, wait, you got a little, like, a Just a cup of coffee.
Got a small cup of coffee, and then we both got the hot chocolate. Yeah. It was actually really good hot chocolate.
It was good hot chocolate.
So that was good with the beignets. And what was the next thing we did? And then we scouted a little bit through the French Quarter.
Yeah, we walked a ton that day. We probably walked around...
We did the entire French Quarter twice.
At least.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'm just talking like the perimeter of it. Yeah. We did twice, and there was a lot of internal...
Yeah, so we went to quite a few different shops.
Mm-hmm. There's Hex and Voodoo Authentica. I don't know if we made it there on the first day.
No, but, we didn't.
There's Zulie's, which we went to that one the next day as well. But there's that one of the nice things about New Orleans is that the magic side of things is very comfortably integrated with everything else. It's just as normal for you to walk into a voodoo shop as it is to walk into a hat maker's.
Right.
Both of which they have here.
Yeah.
So. We did look at Marie Louis' House of Voodoo and Reverend Zombies, which is a little bit more of the touristy, kitschy type stuff. I think we did that the first night, didn't we?
We did. And then we came back to the hotel and packed all the...
Oh, the swag bags. Oh, we had such good swag bags this year.
Yeah.
There'll be more about that later in the show. But just at a really brief mention, the sponsors for the swag bags, who will... one will be listing them in the show notes, but... We'll also be mentioning them throughout at different points throughout the show. Were really, really gracious in terms of what they provided for us this year.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll get to what was in the swag bags in a minute. But
yeah, we packed them while watching American Horror Story.
Oh yes, it was your first. It was your first episode of that.
But I thought it was funny because you know they brought in Marie Laveau and. Yes. Laurie,
well, so. It's set in New Orleans. The whole thing is set in New Orleans.
Right.
So you watched your first episode of American Horror Story Coven, which is, for those who don't know, it's the third season of this TV show called American Horror Story. And every year what they do is they do mostly the same actors, and they do an entire season set around a single horror story. The first season was all about kind of ghosts. The second season was all about an insane asylum. I didn't watch that because... That's just not something I really like to watch.
Mm-mm.
And then the third season is all about witches. And so it's getting a lot of buzz in our community, which is understandable. Apparently they actually did some good research in this. One of Peter Padden's books, there's a photo going around of one of the stars from the series, Emma Roberts, carrying Peter Padden's book as part of her research. So it's kind of cool.
That is really cool.
But... but the whole thing is set in New Orleans. The Salem witches apparently escaped from Salem, came down to New Orleans, and got entrenched here and opened up like a training school for witches. But then they kind of come into conflict with the voodoo community, which has been run by an immortal Marie Laveau. And there's a lot. I mean, some of it's silly and some of it's ridiculous, but it's just a lot of fun to watch and it's very creepy. So
yeah, so that was fun, but so. What else did we do Thursday?
Yeah, I feel like Thursday was a big day for us to find stuff.
Yeah.
We kept looking for fancy hats for you, but we couldn't find one.
I know. I wanted a big floppy hat and couldn't find one that was less than $50.
Yeah, I know. It was very expensive. But, I mean, they're nice hats, too, so.
Did anybody fly in that day?
Yes, we had. We picked up Peter and Linda from the airport, I believe.
That's right, because we ended up taking a nap in the airport parking lot. That's right.
Because we were so tired from walking around all that time. So we did that. We picked up Peter and Linda from the airport. And then did we all go into town again that night?
Yeah, because that was the ghost tour.
Oh, that's right. That was the night of the ghost tour. So. Yes.
So let's talk about that a little bit. that was fun, but I feel like it was kind of a mistake on our part. Mm-hmm. To not really explain to her at the start of it, I guess, who she was talking to.
Right.
Yeah,
because I get the impression she wouldn't have cared that.
Not at all.
If we were like, yeah, we're all witches and we want to know about the witchy stuff.
But she... she told us a couple ghost stories, which were really interesting. Mm-hmm. She told us a little bit of like the vampire lore and showed us a house that was used in the filming of Interview with the Vampire. told us how, you know, Anne Rice kind of influenced that whole thing. And then she got to, like, the voodoo side of it, and it just wasn't really what we were looking for. And that's okay. She was a really good storyteller, and I really enjoyed it overall. But, like, you know, at one point she said, you know, when you're talking about ritual possession, a lot of people think of The Exorcist and that type of possession. And we're like, no, this crowd is on board. We really don't think that.
We've got a guy who actually wrote a book on that here, so... Yeah.
So we... But other than that, it was a lot of fun. It was extremely cold, though. It was the coldest night we've had here.
Yeah. Okay, so something I've been told repeatedly is, oh, dress, you know, you don't need to dress warmly. It's New Orleans. It's never really cold except in maybe January and February. Yeah. And so, you know, I was thinking, oh, it's not going to be that cold. Well, we get out there, and the wind is whipping through the city, and it is the coldest night they've had for forever.
It was freezing.
It was so cold. And that poor tour guide, she was just doing her best. And she's this sweet little lady who looks like Ellen DeGeneres and only, you know, 10 times more cynical and jaded.
Mm-hmm.
But she was sweet. She trudged through it, and she did a good job. And I'd actually set up that tour in advance, and I tried to explain, like, we were looking for more of the magical side of things, but I think they understood that as the ghost side of things.
Yeah.
So.
The two ghost stories that she told were the most interesting to me, though.
Yeah, they were very good.
That was fun.
So. The places that she noted, there's a theater, which is the oldest community theater in the country, I think.
I don't know.
Le Petit Theater. And there's a ghost of an actress who haunts that place. And then a restaurant called Muriel's, she showed us, where... it used to be a private residence where there were big parties thrown, and a guy committed suicide there because he was about to lose the house for gambling debts. Well, then this restaurant opens up, and to his ghost, it looks like it's big parties being thrown every night, and he's not being invited. So he starts making a lot of trouble for everybody in the restaurant and, like, smashing dishes and stuff like that. So what they did was they brought in, I think, a psychic, right?
Yeah.
Who communicated with him found out, oh, he just wants to be invited. So now every night they have a small room set aside which has this private table for him, and they put out silverware, flat, you know, plates, everything, and they pour him, I think she said, a small glass of wine and a little bit of bread. And you can look through the window outside and you can see his little room where he sits.
And I got a picture of it, so we'll try to include that in the show notes.
Yeah, that was really cool. So those are some places to check out. We tried to eat at Muriel's our last day here, but the wait was incredibly long, so
yeah.
We skipped out on that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, all right. So that was Thursday. Friday, we had a bunch of people come in.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was... Did Scarlett come in that day, or did she came? No, she came in Thursday. But whenever she came in, she was here. She was awesome. And then her contribution to the swag bag.
Yeah.
When she first got here, she gave us her contribution, which was a freaking amazing. You want to talk about it?
Yeah. She had this idea to draw her own tarot deck. And it's all from her, I guess, you know, feelings towards certain cards and just images she had in her head and kind of stories behind that. And she had been working on it for a while. I remember the last time she came to visit us, she had been just sketching them out on paper. And she had done them all, turned them into a, you know, a really nice deck, and contributed one to every single swag bag. So
it was awesome.
I thought that was really, really awesome of her.
Yeah, I was super pleased with that. So she did a really good job with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like that. So we got to sit and hang out with her for a while, and we talked to Peter and Linda. They're just a delight. I just love them so much.
Yeah.
Anybody else arrive that night? Did Kathleen come in? She came in Friday night. Really, really late. So we picked her up. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that was here. Velma arrived Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun.
Yeah, Friday, well, Thursday I had been walking so much Friday, and I just hadn't been feeling well for some weird reason. So, I stayed in Friday while Corey and the rest of everyone who was here went into the city, because you had classes.
Yes. Oh, that's the other thing that was going on, mm-hmm. was there was the Folk Magic Festival. So, the Conjure Crossroads community, which I think if you're listening to the show, you probably have already heard of them because they were on a couple of episodes ago. They do a big folk magic festival in New Orleans every year, which is another reason why I wanted to pick New Orleans, was the opportunity to go to some of their classes. So I went to these classes on various types of conjure magic and things like that. First one was by Orion Foxwood, and that was all on the ritual and magical use of keys. It was very good, very interesting. Made a key charm that was really cool. He actually brought us little chestnuts from a place he had visited at the end of the Underground Railroad. So that was kind of cool too. There was this kind of just spiritual connection there that was neat. And then I did this other class, which was all about, I'm trying to remember, it's basically road opening work, sort of protection and road opening, like what can you do to open your roads and your opportunities. And I just got to take a minute and describe kind of what happened.
Okay.
So it's being done by Mama Star, Cassis, and Susan Diamond, and they decided to lead this whole thing off with this this work that Mama Star does, which is uses this Walls of Jericho chant, where she reads Joshua 6, I believe, which describes the walls of Jericho falling. And the idea is that you're going to pull down the walls to let everything out, and then you're going to put some protection on yourself to block back up. And you're going to basically be protected and cleansed. And you open up all your roads in the process of doing that. Well, she had this friend who was coming to take some classes who was kind of this older woman from the Gullah community. And the Gullah community is this area off of the Carolina Sea Islands, which still maintains a lot of old African practices. They do a lot of their own basket weaving, and they... I think, if I'm not entirely mistaken, there may be like no cars allowed on some of the islands because they just try to keep it to very simple, old-fashioned kind of things. It's very cool. And they still use a lot of the medical practices, which includes a ton of root work and a ton of ritual spirituality. And it's, you know, more or less Christian-based at this point. But it's one of those things where it's like it's Christian in this very sort of centralized, you know, God and Jesus are named and mentioned. But there's a lot of other stuff attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other stuff built around it that's not particularly, you know, what most people think of as Christian, but it's amazing. So she's in there, and there's another girl in there that that starts helping out. And they're doing this song that's Josh in the Walls of Jericho, 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 Joshua in the Walls of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. And it's just this old gospel sing along, and so they're using that. We're clapping and going around. And I've got my white guy rhythm on. It's terrible, man. Terrible. I'm watching hands and trying to clap in rhythm. And at some point, it kind of takes over, and the rhythm gets really natural. And we're clapping, going around in a big circle around the room. And Mama Star starts praying this passage from Joshua. And this Gullah woman who's leading the song, and you get this call and response. All of a sudden, this Gullah woman, you can just see something happens to her.
Uh-huh.
And she starts speaking, I don't know if the language is called Gullah or Geechee, but she starts speaking this language that's still spoken on those sea islands. And then she starts speaking in tongues, too, and like laying her hands down on the ground. There's a girl in front of her, and she just kind of grabs the girl, and the girl sort of goes stiff and then falls to the ground.
Wow.
And she's still speaking in tongues and calling out. And there's another guy, and she gets him and like holds him, and he just kind of backs into a wall and kind of goes sliding against the wall as she's, you know, sending the power into him. And she's doing this to a couple different people around the room, and it's just this palpable feeling of like, you can see this is what, you know, the tour guide is talking about ritual possession.
Right.
Like, that's what we're talking about.
Right.
Is that the spirit came down, and it was in her.
That's crazy.
And it was beautiful.
The battle of Jericho, the battle of Jericho.
I don't even remember like anything else in that class. It's so sad. I'm sure if I thought about it, because I took notes, but like there are all these, you know, works that they were discussing afterwards, but like it was just that feeling, like it was worth the price of admission, that knowing that particular piece of magical working and having experienced that particular thing. Mm-hmm. Like, that was amazing.
That is amazing.
Sorry, I'm sidetracked on that, but it was just such a cool, cool event. I was so blown away by that. So anyway, so I did that. And I think by that point, you had joined up with Velma and the others,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Velma drove in, and since I was here at the hotel, I was able to meet her, and we waited for Jillian to get here.
Yes.
So we all went up on the French Quarter, I guess it was around 4-ish. Mm-hmm. And again, we walked around, and Velma had a list of some shops she wanted to go see. So we did that. We, you know, found a tea room, mm-hmm. which Corey and I ended up visiting the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And this shop that sold jewelry and a lot of different stones and rocks and stuff like that. And we found Voodoo Authentica.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of that?
It's in the name. It felt like the most authentic, I guess, of all
shops.
Of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that one. Yeah. Like that one. In terms of feeling like it had some history going mm-hmm. on in there. Yeah, I remember.
Well, and when we walked in, it was kind of like a little foyer almost where the desk was, and then you went off to the left and there was one room, and then there was one straight in front of you. And I looked in the one on the left for a little while, but then when I went into the one further back, there was actually someone doing some sort of work there mm-hmm. for these two girls, and I was like, oh, sorry, interrupting.
Mm-hmm.
So I backed out, you know, later apologized, yeah. and, you know, said, I'm sorry if I interrupted you. And he's like, no, it's fine. I was just, you know,
yeah.
doing my thing. So, but that was cool. It was.
And one thing that's kind of neat about all those shops in there, like Voodoo Authentica, definitely, I mean, all of the shops have these, but some of them are really, really cool. Like, the ones in Erzuli's I really like are the altars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, all these places have these really cool altars. Voodoo Authentica has this beautiful Marie Laveau altar you can go and leave offerings and pray at.
Mm-hmm. Well, Authentica also had one to Erzuli, which was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Had, and a lot of them had, like, information about who the altar was to,
mm-hmm.
which was nice. And, you know, it said, do not touch. So it wasn't just for, people to worship at. It was also for people to educate themselves. Yeah. So I liked that a lot.
Yeah, that was very cool. Yeah, and Erzuli's, obviously they had Erzuli and they had Papa Legba. They had, I think, one of the few that saw the Simbi as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
saw a couple.
Very interesting. Each shop, like that's kind of one of the cool things is there's some that they all have in common. Like a lot of them have Marie Laveau because it's New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them will have either the Gede or Baron Sunity, or they'll have Legba is very, very common.
Yeah.
But each shop kind of has certain lois, certain ones, there certain altars that are unique to that shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought that was really kind of cool. Like, every shop kind of has its own flavor, its own character because of that.
Definitely. I agree.
Yeah. Except for Reverend Zombies and Marie Laveau's, which were pretty generic, but They're interesting.
Yeah.
It's fun to be there.
Well, like you said, they were a little bit more of the touristy.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
They were still fun to go into.
Yeah, I enjoyed them. So, yeah. So that was Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And
where did we eat that night?
And then the Friday, I think you guys went to the gumbo shop for lunch.
It was late lunch, early dinner, I would say. I only got a cup of gumbo.
Right.
It was kind of the perfect amount. It was all I really wanted.
Okay.
But everybody was really happy with it. And gumbo is not my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody loves New Orleans food, you know, seafood and the mm-hmm. spice, and I'm just not about that. I don't eat shrimp. I don't eat crawfish. you know, I'm not much on sausage.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, it's not like my type of food, I guess. But it's still fun to try.
Yeah, it was fun. And we're not going to eat sausage at all after what Peter told us about pork. Yeah. Peter gave us some horrible mental images about what's living in our pork.
Yes.
But that's beside the point. Anyway, so yeah. Friday night, I don't think we all ate together, did we?
No.
Because the big Podkin dinner was Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I guess that brings us to Saturday.
Yeah.
Let's pause here for just a second, and then maybe we'll hear some fun tidbits from New Orleans, and be right back.
Hi, it's Scarlett from Lakefront Pagan Voice. Here's some of the highlights of New Orleans for me, but by no means reflect everything that was awesome. I think my camera reflects some of the favorite places I went. I took dozens of photos of cemeteries, and very few of anything else, actually. I must have been too busy having fun to take out my camera the rest of the time, because everything else was beautiful, too. But the cemeteries were powerful and moving, especially seeing the alleged tombs of Marie Laveau and St. Louis Cemetery No. 1. If you are going to any part of New Orleans, I highly recommend you find tour guides and take advantage of their knowledge before you explore on your own. There are plenty everywhere, some in fancy carriages and others quite cheap and on foot, and they enrich the experience greatly having a trained and experienced guide to give you the inside knowledge. Otherwise, you could miss something pretty awesome or end up wandering into a place you might not feel too safe in. There's a group called Free Tours by Foot that lets you name your own price, and they give basically the same tour as a paid one. But if you do go, you do need to book in advance. Also, remember to give yourself a generous budget for food. Don't skimp on that, because the food is a big part of the New Orleans experience, just as much as the sights and sounds. Forget souvenirs if you have to, and just take your own bit of New Orleans home in your belly. And don't get your heart set on going to the big-name restaurants. Most of the places in the area have food that is just as good, and probably faster and cheaper, too. One thing I didn't think about at the time, but did want to see once I realized I'd missed it, was an actual bayou. I never got a chance to get out of the wilder areas and see an honest-to-goodness swamp close up and personal. If I went again, I'd probably try to arrange a boat or hovercraft tour or something along those lines to get a feel for bayou country. Anyhow, it was a beautiful trip made a million times better by the company I was able to keep. If you go, go with friends. Blessings to all of you.
Okay. This reading is for Lane. It is November 9th, 2013, and this is Bottom of the Cup. Now, this is, you know, just do that and kind of shake it up, and because it's your reading, it's your thing. Okay. Now, okay. I wasn't sure if this thing slipped. Okay, let's see what we can find here. But is your husband having a reading too?
No.
Oh,
no, that
okay.
is a.
Oh, he was paying for
he's
it.
He's a very good friend of mine, but he is not my husband.
Oh, okay. Let's see what we have here. I'm going to see if I can find anything, and then you. Wow. There's something in here that looks like a tree.
That's what I thought. That's what I saw.
Yeah. And it has two things going. That's on this side. And it has two, what do you call it, limbs or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And also, have you ever wanted to move somewhere else?
We've talked about it.
Because you're going to move, too. Because I have birthdays for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
In my 40 years of doing this, I have found that people born at certain times all come in at the same time.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because there are major decisions that you have to make. You could, that's movement around the home, but that's also that you could be moving.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you could be moving is because of a job.
Okay.
Okay? Now, you could be moving west. See what's next to that tree? Mountains?
Yeah.
You could be moving west.
Okay.
To, I'm thinking west of it is Colorado, but you know, but it's yes, there is a chance of a move.
Okay.
That's one of those decisions you're going to have to make. It's one of those opportunities.
Right.
So,
Would that be for the best?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Sure. When things like this come along, okay, you follow your first thought. Mm-hmm. If your first thought is, oh, good, do it. Because I'm sure that you've had times where you've said, oh, I should have done that, because you went against your first thought.
Yeah.
So if you have to think of something more, you know, like you have to contemplate, you have to think about it, then it's best not to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, but follow your first thought.
So that brings us to Saturday, which mm-hmm. was the actual meet and greet and the Podkin dinner.
Yep. So we... Well, first, you and I think you had already done this, but we went over to Marie Laveau's tomb.
Oh, yes. Yeah, the day before I'd gone to Marie Laveau's tomb, and right in front of... So there's a lot of controversy over where Marie Laveau's tomb actually is.
Mm-hmm.
I should clarify by saying I went to St. Louis Cemetery number 1, which is there's two tombs in there that are reputed to possibly be Marie Laveau's, and I believe I also heard that there's another cemetery called St. Louis number 2, which is where she's actually buried, but I don't think anybody knows for sure.
No, probably not.
Yeah. So anyway, we went to a tomb purported to be Marie Laveau's tomb. Which looked pretty Marie Laveau to me.
It did, yeah. It was this white, tall building. You know, some of them are a lot shorter than others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tons of red triple X's on them.
Uh-huh.
Tell what you found.
You mean what I disturbed and am bearing an eternal voodoo curse for?
Yes.
Yes. So one of the cool things about her tomb... all the tombs down here, by the way, are above ground. They're essentially mausoleums or sepulcher-type things,
mm-hmm.
Where the bodies are interred, and there's all sorts of burial practices that could go along with it, like they'll let the bodies decompose to a certain point, and then they go in and push the bones back and make room for the next person. That kind of, this long thing. But at any rate, so there's this whitewashed mausoleum, basically,
mm-hmm.
with all these markings all over it, which is the only one, of two or three in the entire area that have all these markings on it. And then there's lots of offerings around the base of it. There's a lot of little mojo bags and, you know, coins, things like that. On one side of it, there's also this little, basically a coat hanger that somebody had taken apart and jammed part of the wire into the side of the brick where there's a crack. And stuck two habanero peppers on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just above that, in the crack, they'd inserted what looked like a .22 caliber or maybe a 9mm bullet. And so clearly somebody was doing some kind of not pleasant working,
mm-hmm.
using Marie Laveau's tomb to do something rather naughty. Well, as I'm showing that to somebody, I'm like motioning with my arm, and I knock one of the peppers off of the spike.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, oh, crap.
Oh, hamburgers.
Fucking hamburgers. Well, I've got a voodoo curse. So that was fun. Dr. Hobb. Oh, Dr. Hobb had arrived. When did he arrive? He arrived Thursday, didn't he?
Mm.
Thursday or Friday?
Yeah, Thursday. Yeah. Because
he went with me the first day I went there.
As we were going out to dinner,
mm-hmm.
they arrived.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, oh, okay, go put your stuff up. check in and get out of here. We're going to dinner.
That's right. Okay. yeah, because we were heading to dinner in the ghost tour that night. And so, yeah, so he had come with me, and he fortunately had brought along some booze to make an offering and everything like that. And so we made offerings, and then we'd also stopped at this church, which is an Our Lady of Guadalupe church, but also has one of the shrines to St. Jude in it. And you can go to the little church store and buy a bottle for like a buck or a buck 50 that says holy water on it, and then go to essentially what amounts to a Gatorade cooler, only it's made of solid silver with a cross on it, and get holy water in there. So I had gotten some of that. So I was like, oh, that's kind of neat. And I'm used to, like, the only times I've seen that where you can get holy water where I'm from, they have them in these big fonts where you go and you dip your holy water out if you need it. So it was just interesting to be like, pour a spigot full of holy water into a plastic bottle with a big gold cross on it.
Did the Pope come out and like pat you on the hind end and say, yeah, game? Right.
Yeah, exactly. the bishop walks by and like chest bumps me. Anyway, so I had that with me, and I'm, you know, kind of washed my hands and was just, you know, doing what I could do to sort of cleanse after,
yeah,
after knocking the hot pepper off of the tomb.
Yeah.
And then there's another tomb which is not whitewashed. It's actually a brick tomb that has a lot of shells and rocks and stuff on it, and a bunch of hair accessories, because our ghost tour guide told us that Marie Laveau was not a hairdresser, and they have records that show she was not. Everything I've ever read doesn't say that she's a hairdresser in the way we think of a hairdresser, but rather that she worked in ladies' homes, and one of the things she did was dress hair.
Hmm.
So maybe she was not a professional hairdresser in the way we would think of, like, a barber being a hairdresser. But from all my understanding is that she did something involving cosmetology inside women's homes.
Okay.
So, whatever the case, true or not true, she has a reputation for it. People leave these offerings for her at this other tomb. And so that was kind of neat. We got to see both of those tombs. And then the day we were there, a tomb that looked like it was being consecrated to Yemaya, right? No, Izuli.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
It was.
So we did that, and then we walked back out to the French Quarter.
Mm-hmm. And we booked it up to Izuli's.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were running a little bit late.
Yeah, we were a little late. But and Izuli's was our very gracious, very, very kind host for the actual Podkin meet and greet, which was not much of a meet or greet.
It was a meet. It wasn't really a greet.
Yeah, it was a little sad. So Izuli's, again, was very, very awesome in hosting us. And one of the reasons I chose them is they do all of their own products. Everything you buy there is very unique.
Mm-hmm.
And so Velma told me that I had chosen the perfect shop because it was the one she was going to spend the most money in, which I think is possibly true. And I wound up spending a good chunk of change there as well. And I think a few other folks bought some things.
What'd you get there?
I got a couple of basically Wanga dolls, or Wanga constructions. I don't know what else to call them. One is representative of Papa Legba, one is representative of Simbi, because those two and Izuli were the ones that the shop was kind of specializing in.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of them, but those are the ones that they specialized in. I do and I don't have a connection to Izuli. I don't have a need to extend that connection to Izuli.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to do anything that involved, you know, buying more of her things and bringing her any more into my life than she ever has been.
Yeah.
So...
Well, it seems like from what I've read, I mean, I'm not educated about her, but she was more like for love and just,
yeah, and she was also, you know, she's a woman's law in a lot of ways, and that's not to say men can't work with her, many men do, but I've had one experience with her where I would call it ritual possession. It wasn't quite a full-on ritual possession, but I had an event where we were doing sort of a dance to Izuli.
I didn't know that was to her.
Mm-hmm. In one of her aspects, and I had something happen where it's sort of like my mind took a back seat to what was going on, and I had some stuff happen, and I was it was fine. It wasn't a big deal. Nothing bad happened, but But it was definitely like, well, that was closer than I wanted to be. I really was not trying for anything, and definitely not for her, because I don't...
connect?
Yeah, I'm not a... you know how some people kind of connect to different kinds of magic?
Mm-hmm.
Love magic is not one of those things I connect with.
Agreed.
It's just not something I do. I mean, I know things about it, but I don't do it.
We've both found our partners,
mm-hmm.
so I don't really feel the need to do anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, and like, it's... Yeah, I don't do it for myself, and what I find I have a lot more luck with are things like kind of success, mm-hmm. luck, good fortune, money, prosperity, those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And road opening as well, which is one of the reasons I was doing the road opening workshop, because that's what I think I have a calling to do more than anything. Are those kinds of, like, making yourself more prosperous. But anyway, so all of that is to say, those have a draw for me, and the love side of things, which is more in Izhuli's camp, doesn't. So that's why I didn't wind up buying Izhuli stuff from Izhuli's. But I did buy Simbi stuff and Legba stuff from Izhuli's, because those are awesome.
Very cool.
But yeah, so it was more of a meet, less of a greet. We didn't have any band show up this year, and I felt kind of bad about that.
Yeah.
But... oh, well, what are you going to do, right?
Oh, goodness. So,
I actually thought it would be kind of one of the more popular years.
Me too.
But, yeah, that's fine.
Well, I told... the day before, I was talking to a few people, and I said, you know, I wonder if anybody's going to come. I wonder how many people we're going to have. And, you know, I said a couple times, even if no one shows up, it's still worth it to me to get to talk to everybody and see everybody again,
yes.
and meet, you know, new people in the community, so.
Absolutely. No, the aspect of meeting all the people we met
mm-hmm.
here, that includes some of the local, the shop owners and
definitely.
Things like that, because Anna, who owns Izhuli's, was super gracious and super awesome.
Yeah.
She was a hoot to hang out with for a few minutes, but all the new podkin that we got to meet, and, you know, and the old ones that, you know,
that I don't see, but once every couple years.
Right. And I mean, these are friendships that really have depth to them, I think, at this point. Like, I look forward to seeing Jillian like she's an old friend, and Velma like she's an old friend. Scarlett has stayed on our futon before.
Right.
When road tripping, you know?
Like, right.
So these are strong friendships, and I really like that. So yeah. So that part of it was really, really good. It does make me wonder if, like, in future years, we're just going to kind of drop that aspect of it.
Yeah.
But that won't be up to me, I don't think. So we'll see how it goes.
You're handing over the reins to someone else?
Yes, I think I'm going to have to hand it over next year. But that's just because I'll be, you know, in transition and moving at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't have the time to actually organize events.
Yeah. Oh, I do want to talk about a fun little thing that happened during that. The trek over. Okay, so the night before,
mm-hmm.
or I guess 2 nights ago, had been, you know, crazy cold. And, that day had been kind of chilly and breezy. Well, so Saturday, I dressed kind of warmly. You know, I've got boots on. And it is crazy hot. Like, the sun is just beating down. And, I mean, it's not 100 degrees, but... it's a stark difference than what we had been used to. So, I get there and I've got a headache and I'm sweating, and then Velma comes up to me and she says, I need coffee. I'm going to get coffee. And I said, okay, I'm going with you. So me, Jillian, Kathleen, Scarlett, and Velma went and looked for this coffee shop, and we finally found one that sold iced coffee, which was perfect. And we all just, like, gulped it down. And they had this, I guess, little contest they do daily, and let me see, I take a picture of it. It was win a free scoop if you can guess the poet. It said, no cheating, your answer will be voided. So it was a Donne poem, and I ended up guessing correctly. I was really excited about that, because I said, yay, my degree came in handy for once in my life.
Yes, I was very impressed. Like, I just finished taking a GRE subject test, where basically the whole thing is like, here's a passage of a poem, tell me who the poet is.
Oh, wow.
Like, and I scored 95th percentile on it, which
wow.
is like, and like, this is gonna sound all like braggy. It's very humble braggy. I'm not meaning it to be braggy because I'm actually bragging on you with this. But like, I got 95th percentile, and like to get into Harvard, like I think you have to have 68th percentile. Mm. So 95th percentile is really good.
Yes, it is.
And I looked at it, and I was like, I don't know, is it Dryden? Which is the right? It's approximately the right era, but completely the wrong poet. And you knew it. You were like all over that business. I was loving it.
I was really excited. So I won a free scoop of ice cream, and
what'd you get? Banana split.
Yes.
Nice.
It was delicious.
Fantastic.
Along with my iced mocha. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was so good. It was like exactly what we needed, and we all just—I think we drank them in 5 minutes, and mm-hmm. that helped my head a lot too. So.
Yes.
But yes. Anyway, it was a fun little excursion with some of the gals.
Yes. That's fun. And it is. It's neat because it's sort of like a, you know, something you would do hanging out with friends in New Orleans.
Right.
So that's, it's, it was a good social aspect. And then a bunch of us went from there to the gumbo shop for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Had delicious, delicious Cajun food. I think that may be the best food I had all weekend was the gumbo shop.
I had a blackened chicken po' boy. That
that was shut your mama's mouth good.
It was divine. It was so good. I kept just like taking bites and going, it's so good.
It was delicious. I had like one little piece of her chicken and I was like, oh my god, it's so good.
So what did you end up getting?
I had the crawfish etouffee and a tiny, like just a little cup of the gumbo.
Oh yeah, that's it. What I had for lunch that previous day.
Yes. And I had, and I'll say this, when at first bite, it was fine. Both of those were fine. But I'm a big spice eater. I really like spice. So they had a house-made hot sauce and a bunch of like blackening spices and stuff like that on the table as the condiments. So I added a bunch of those. And once I like kicked it up a couple thousand notches, it was awesome.
Yeah, I saw the like the pile of pepper that you had put in it. And I was like, that's a lot of pepper. But you liked it.
I like spice.
See, I do not at all.
So. Yeah, I kind of went a little... Like, I did all that, mixed it all in, and ate it. And then about halfway through the bowl, I'm like, it's still not spicy enough, and I added more. This is what I like spice. So that was really good.
Yeah, and then after that, we trekked over to the tea room.
Was that the tea room day?
Yes.
Yay! I love the tea room.
So we got our tea leaves read,
mm-hmm.
and by this adorable little lady named Brandy.
I think Brenda. Or no, you're right, Brandy.
Which is a funny name for this, you know, for how old this one was. It doesn't seem like it was.
Yeah, she was, you know, 50 or 60, but it's two E's. Brande. We know this because she gave us CDs with our tea leaf readings on them.
Yeah, they recorded it and gave it to you so you can come back to it and listen to what she said again.
Or so you can insert them into podcasts and people can hear what your tea leaf readings sound
like. Exactly.
Which may or may not be happening in this episode.
So look it up.
This is the bottom of the cup. It is November 9th, 2013, and this reading is for Corey. Okay, Corey. Now, I'm going to do this, okay? But you, I'm going to give it to you now, and you do the same thing. Okay. So it coats the cup.
Okay, so sort of like this?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Any way you want to do it.
Okay.
Okay. Now. Okay. I didn't get it on your shirt.
Okay. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. One time I did. But I got it on myself. The napkin slipped, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Okay, let's see if we have what we have in here. Sometimes if there's nothing in the cup, it's still that has a meaning, too. Boy, you've... You have made decisions. When are you going to start school?
Next September.
That's good. That you're right in your timing. Because our lives also move in two-year phases. And you're right there. But there's more traveling for you, too.
Well, I'll have to be moving. I'll have to move to a different city to be able to do the PhD program. So that would make sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, in when you're in a phase, okay, and there are opportunities, and it has to do with where you're living, what you're doing career-wise, and people, okay? Your two come because you're going to be moving to a different place because you're going to go to school, that schooling and training. And you're not married or anything, are you? Or are
I am.
You? Oh, okay. It's, well, then she's going to have to go.
She is, yes. Yeah. We're planning for
when,
that. So.
When? Oh, yeah, there would be a move for her. I don't do this for astrology. It's just it's the way I tune into people. Okay. Oh, yeah, there would be a move for her. Yeah. And what does she do?
She is a semi-professional photographer and graphic designer, and then also stay-at-home mom sometimes too.
Oh, so. Yeah. Well, you know what? She went to her other side, that all photography. Yes, and I'll bet she's good.
She's very good.
Yeah, she would be good in that.
Mm-hmm. She's very creative.
Mm-hmm. So now it's like everything is getting ready in here. You know, like. There's not too much in the bottom of the cup, okay?
Okay. Okay.
Because everything seems to be swishing this way. And this just means that everything is going forward. And yes, there's a move all right. You have most of the things done already.
Okay.
Yeah. You said you're planning on having a family or something?
We have a family. We have a 4-year-old boy, 2-year-old girl.
Oh, really? Uh-huh. Oh, nice. Yeah. Where are you going to go to school?
We don't know yet. We're applying to programs all over the country, and then whichever one gives us the best offer is basically where we'll go.
Well, I'll tell you, there's going to be mountains.
Okay.
Yeah, there's going to be, because there's mountains in here.
Okay.
If you want to just, here, hold the cup and turn it around, and you'll see what's in there. I have mostly mountains, but it's like everything is up this way, which means it's all going forward. And you can have any, actually, it's very good. It's very successful.
Good.
Yeah.
Is there any relevance to this portion not having as much at the rim?
This, no. This is part of what has already been done.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. You're going to do very well. You are doing well, but you're going to do very well.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, it's... you're going to have more schooling than you think.
Oh. I hope that's a good thing.
The first... You're going for your PhD, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And then you would be going for a doctorate?
Well, PhD is the doctorate, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're going to be going to more school than you think.
Okay.
But that's okay, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And yes, it is going to be more where the mountains are.
Okay.
Everything's good.
Good. Good. Okay. Thank you. Perfect. She's at the place was called Bottom of the Cup Tea Room.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there since 1929.
Wow.
They've been doing psychic readings and tea leaf readings. And it was fun because we'd been looking all weekend to find a place to get... Like, I don't know why, but I just had this need. I was like, I want... you to get your stuff read while you're here. And I kind of wanted to get stuff read. So I think I was really just sort of like proxy excusing myself for getting a reading for myself by making you get one too. That's okay. We had fun.
We did have fun. Well, we thought about doing a tarot and maybe a poem. Because one thing about New Orleans is they're everywhere and it's very acceptable here, you know, and they're out on the street in Jackson Square. And
they're in front of St. Louis Cathedral.
Right.
On church holy ground, they allow them to set up dozens of tarot and palm reading booths.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
It's very different. So we kept thinking, well, what kind of reading do we want? You know, what seems right? What seems like, you know, a good person to go to? And we thought about it, and, you know, like, we kind of know how to read tarot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I'm great at it, but, you know, I think I could give you a fair reading.
Right.
Scarlett definitely could.
Yes.
And has before, and you could do playing cards. So cards were kind of out for us. And then I was like, well, palm doesn't seem right. But then tea leaves, I have no idea how to read tea leaves.
Yeah.
So that just seemed like something different that we couldn't really get.
Yeah. Yeah, we also looked at a bone reading from the... had priestess at the voodoo temple, but we couldn't get in. Just the timing didn't work out.
Yeah.
And so we did the tea leaves. And because neither of us really read those. I've had coffee grounds read before once by somebody who could do that, but I can't read them.
Mm-mm.
And I can't read tea leaves. I think it's really fascinating. I love how it works. But
well, and she seemed to be a bit of a medium anyway, because she was telling me things before we even started.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it was funny because like she would just get some of the stuff that should have been really obvious, she was completely wrong on.
Mm-hmm.
Not in terms of like reading anything, but like she just misheard names and misheard things that we were saying, and like misunderstood who we were. Like she misunderstood. Like she kept saying like, "Oh, is your husband getting a tea reading? Is your husband getting a tea reading?" Referring to me, and I think it took you a minute to realize that's who she was talking about.
Well, I mean it's a fair assumption. You know, we're both wearing rings. We come in together. You know, it's fair.
Yeah.
I don't get upset about it or anything. But I had to explain a couple times that no. He's just a very good friend, and we came in together, but my husband is back home, and this is his name, and, you know, it took her a couple...
Yeah, a couple tries
to
pick that up.
So...
But then, like, when she would go into, like, media mode, she was on.
Yeah, it was like time. She was perceptive, but only in that way, not in the here and now way.
Yes, it was kind of cool. Yeah. I liked that. I really liked that about her.
It was interesting.
So, yeah, so anyway, so hopefully you'll hear a little bit. In there. It was neat because it was, you know, it was unique. There were not a lot of tea leaf readers there that I saw.
Right.
And that, so that made it kind of a special experience. And we tried to go to the pharmacy museum, which is just down the street from that, but they were closed for a private wedding or something.
Yeah, apparently the pharmacy place is hopping.
Yeah.
It's for weddings.
And the hit place to be, man. We had like two, there was closed 2 days in a row for weddings.
Yeah.
Then I don't think anybody got to go see it just because it kept getting closed for private events. Yeah. But it looked really cool.
It did. We peeked in.
Yeah.
After that, we went to the Voodoo Museum, though.
That was pretty cool.
That was interesting.
I enjoyed that. Lots of cool stuff. You'll see lots of photos from that.
Yeah, I took a couple. There was some, like a case with some voodoo dolls and just all kinds of pictures and altars everywhere. And
mm-hmm. It's the one place where you could just take pictures to your heart's content.
Yeah, because a lot of places said, you know, please no pictures of altars, and which I totally understand, you know. But this place was really interesting.
Yeah, and it was funny because it was you could take pictures and do all this, but then there were also some working spaces, like clearly, like, you know, there's Marie Laveau's kneeling bench,
mm-hmm.
where people were leaving coins.
There were coins everywhere, stuck in everything as offerings. So, you know, a lot of people know that I work with yarn and do a lot of that type stuff, knitting and spinning and whatever else I can get my hands on. And I found on the wall, I took a picture of it, it's an African hand loom. And it says it was approximately 100 to 200 years old. And in the reeds that I guess people would use as a warp for the loom, people had stuck coins in all through it. So, I don't know, it was like two worlds colliding. It was cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. Yeah, I actually kind of liked it. Like, the museum, the woman at the front she just reminded me of, like, Annie Potts in Ghostbusters.
Yes! Oh my god! That's perfect! Like,
it was very much like, welcome to the Voodoo Museum, what do you want? It was very like, okay, that's cool, we're not going to bother you. But then, like, she let us in and was like, take as many pictures as you want, just don't touch anything. Like, it's very, like, all right, cool. And so, you know, but, yeah, it was a lot of fun to go through that museum and just really cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool stuff. Like, I don't know, I'm not going to say, like, I treat it all as, like, gospel truth, but it was really neat to kind of see these bits and pieces of the culture.
Yeah.
And there aren't, that's one thing I will say, is, like, for museums, there weren't a ton of them around here. Because the whole city kind of has this museum quality.
Right.
It's a combination, like, carnival, circus sideshow, museum happening all the time.
Yeah.
Like, we saw multiple wedding processions, jazz wedding processions.
So many weddings.
Yeah.
So many that they would have police escorts and let them drive around the city and, you know, like a full jazz band playing. And
yes.
All the wedding party walking behind them and waving these... white and black handkerchiefs, I guess, depending on what side you were, like bride or groom, is what you would wave,
yeah, I guess
white or black. But anyway, it was so much fun to see. It was really cool.
Yeah, that was awesome. It was sort of like, I don't know, it's like everything you think about when you think of New Orleans, we found at some point through the trip. Now, whether we got to experience it like 100% or not, sure, there's stuff that, like, that's the cool thing about it is, like, being here has made me say, yeah, I'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot I didn't get to see. I feel like I had a very full weekend.
I do too.
But I also know, like, I saw just a tiny little bit of it, and there's so much more I want to see here too.
Yeah, we didn't get out of the French Quarter much. Yeah.
Except this morning.
Except this morning, which was really cool, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But it still didn't feel like we lacked for anything. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good, I don't know, good day on Saturday, and then so this morning, we got up, and we knew, several people were heading into town to have their Café du Monde and all mm-hmm. that, but we'd already done so much of that, you know, we basically ran Peter and Linda into town so they could do the last day of the Folk Magic Festival, and then we had just this weird idea, like, we're kind of done with walking. We've walked so much the past few days.
Okay. I have to just say this. The boots that I was wearing, I didn't wear my socks with them because I didn't want to get too hot. Well, that, like, cut into my ankle. Like, bleeding cut into my ankle. So, Corey and I went to this tourist shop and I bought flip-flops, and he got stuff for his kids, which was awesome. And then the flip-flops, after a couple hours, started digging into my feet in a different way.
You couldn't win for lose this weekend.
So I was in so much pain by the end of Saturday night. I mean, luckily, like, we had sat down to eat at the big, you know, dinner.
Oh, yeah, we had talked about that, yeah.
For a couple hours. But by the time we got to the car, I was dead on my feet. I was so tired and just ready to go to bed. So, today, I was just like, Corey, I cannot walk anymore. Yes. We have to do something that does not involve walking around this city.
Yes, so we, I was like, well, I want to see the Garden District. Mm-hmm. There's this section of New Orleans called the Garden District.
And I did, too, because it got us out of the French Quarter. It's like part of it. It's still really historical and beautiful.
Right. Yeah, and it's basically, it's the rich people homes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of, like, really, really pretty old-fashioned houses. Some have been reconstructed. A lot of movies get shot at these houses and mm-hmm. things like that. So I was like, okay, well, there's got to be some way that we can do the Garden District without having to walk it. And so I started looking, and I found, like, you could do self-guided tours. There's a self-guided driving tour. And I was like, well, we'll do that. And then I saw that they had an iTunes CD that you could buy.
Mm-hmm.
An iTunes album, I guess.
The most genius idea ever.
It was freaking amazing. You could just download it, and each stop was its own track.
Mm-hmm.
And it had direct, and they were smart, because they would do the stop, and then directions to the next stop at the end of the track, so that you could get to the next stop and pause it, and then start playing again as soon as you got there. It was freaking amazing.
It was so cool. So it showed us all these historic homes, and Rice's home where she used to live. I think she now lives in California.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I learned that from the tour.
Yep. Where Jefferson Davis died.
Uh-huh. That was really pretty. A few, like, boarding schools, and mm-hmm. a lot of those old homes had been turned into schools at one point. And girls' preparatory schools and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And then we saw some celebrity homes, which was really neat.
Yeah, we saw Sandra Bullock's.
Mm-hmm. And John Goodman, which we both really like those actors,
yeah.
So...
Yeah,
that's cool. Awesome.
Yeah, the audio tour even said, keep an eye out because you may see John Goodman walking his dogs around the neighborhood. And I was like, oh, dude, if we see that, we're done. We don't have to do anything else, ever.
So that was really, really cool.
So that, yeah, that was a lot of fun. We totally missed talking about the dinner. I think I skipped over that. But the dinner we had was at, I'm just going to say, Charter House.
Mm-hmm. That's how the waiter
pronounces it. I'm going with that. Charter House is what he called it. It's on Chartres Street. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. There's been some debate over the pronunciation of that. So
I have no idea.
We're not even going to get
into
it.
I take Spanish, not French. I shouldn't chime in.
And I speak Spanish and some Haitian Creole, but I got nothing on French. So I'm not mispronouncing it. and I don't know. I have no idea what it is. The waiter said Charter Street. I'm going with
so
Charter.
So let's just say Charter.
Charter. It's Charter Houses, Charter Street. We're done.
Let's Americanize it.
Yes. So we went there, and they were pretty good. They had a good solid. That was where I got a muffalata sandwich. Mm-hmm. Didn't get to get it from Central Grocery, which is where you're supposed to get it. But I had a muffalata in New Orleans. I'm good.
And I had a burger.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was good. Scarlett also got a muffalata, but she couldn't finish hers. So it became the nog of the year because we put the two olives on top of it. And it looked like eyes. And the thing looked creepy as crap. And then the waiter took it up a notch and wrapped it in tinfoil and turned it into an evil crab.
We had a really good time doing that.
It was fun. We had a good time. And after the Garden District... So I went to go buy my wife her gift.
Yeah, this was really cool.
Yeah, so this is... The first night we were here... not the first night we were here, but the night we did the ghost tour, one of the things that the tour guide pointed out to us was this perfumery, which was right next to Erzulli's.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this place, I think it's called Bon Bon Perfume or something like that. Bourbon Perfumes, that's what it was.
That's right.
Bourbon Perfumes or something like that. And she pointed out, and she mentioned it, and said that it was a fairly famous perfume maker, and that one of the reasons it was famous was that an author named Tom Robbins had used some of its history in writing a novel called Jitterbug Perfume.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my wife and I, when we first met, became really good friends, and part of that was because we really bonded over the novels of Tom Robbins, especially Jitterbug Perfume. So it's, you know, to the point where even our, we have two cats that are named after characters from Tom Robbins novels.
Mm-hmm.
So we really love Tom Robbins. Well, I found out about this, and they do a lot of hand blending, like they blend all of their own perfumes, and they'll blend to a customer's skin to match their scent and things like that. Obviously, I didn't have my wife with me, so I couldn't match her scent, but I managed to go in today and get a scent that was one of their signature scents.
Mm-hmm.
From this little perfumery. So I know this is, you know, a silly side story, but I think my wife will like it.
I think that's really awesome. I'm really excited for you to give it to her.
I am too. I just think that's so. And then
I think she'll love it.
Yeah, they come in these little velveteen type bags, mm-hmm. and it's very. It just feels very, and you know, upper class and,
yes.
and sweet and I don't know.
Yeah,
just,
it's very different than buying perfume at the counter at Belk or something.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah, there's a sort of personalized quality to it.
Yeah.
And I got an eau de toilette.
Mm-hmm.
Cologne. That was a, it's like a rum royale or something like that, which mm-hmm. is sort of a rum with clove scent that I find to be manly and attractive on me. So, anyway, so that was a lot of fun. That's basically our weekend in New Orleans.
In a nutshell.
In a very big...
No, wait, we have to talk about, we went to dinner tonight to this, like, wingery.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a Saints game going on today here in New Orleans. They're playing the Cowboys.
Yeah, right now they're actually 35-17 New Orleans winning.
Yes, the game is on. I'm just on mute.
Yes.
I'm
not a football fan, but Lane has become a bit of one. And honestly...
It's so much fun to root for a team, like, in the city that is, like, football is really important to them.
It's super important.
It's really big here. So it was fun to kind of see, you know, the Saints score a touchdown and the whole bar went crazy and everybody's wearing black and gold and it was just a lot of fun. It was like, you know, I didn't even know that was on my bucket list of New Orleans things, but I'm glad it just got checked off.
Yeah, it was super cool.
It was fun.
And even when we went downtown today, I mean, it was just packed with people in black and gold Saints mm-hmm. jerseys and stuff like that. So it was a lot of fun to be here for that. Like, I'm not normally into the sports scene, but the way that it kind of is done here, it's sort of a form of patriotism. I don't know. It's
very
inspiring.
It is. Yeah, it kind of is.
And it's just it's sweet. It's it was a lot of fun to be a part of that.
Aloha. This is Kathleen of Borealis Meditation, and I just got back from my first ever trip to Louisiana. I visited so many amazing places, it's really hard to pick just one as my favorite, so here is a list. bottom of the cup tea room, all of the cemeteries, the haunted history tour, and driving all the way down river as far as we absolutely could get to the southernmost port in Louisiana you could drive to. I also got out of the French Quarter a little bit and went and explored some thrift shops while I was there, and I highly recommend it. It was super fun. There's all kinds of cool stuff. Excellent thrift stores. And in terms of things I missed, I think it's called the Apothecary Museum. Every time we went by, it was either closed or it had a private event. So next time, I definitely want to check that out. But I also have the same list for food. I think my favorite food is a tie between the beignets and étouffée. I think you should definitely try both of them. And I didn't get to eat anything too exotic like gator or nutria, so I'm just going to have to save that for next time. Even with all that, I have to say the absolute best part of my trip was getting to hang out with my fellow Podkin. It is always a treat to hang out with such awesome people and see new faces.
That's the weekend in New Orleans in a nutshell.
Oh, God.
That was great.
That was good times.
Yeah. I feel like after this weekend, though, and I've said this already to a few people, I feel like I could offer tours of the French Quarter.
We walked that place so much.
Like, I feel like I know that place. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. It was good, though.
Yeah.
It was really good.
It was a lot of fun. And hopefully interspersed with this whole episode, you've been hearing a little bit, off and on from the tea leaf readings, music, things like that, that are connected to New Orleans in a fun way.
Mm-hmm.
And then to sort of let everybody else participate in this awesome event, we had some swag bags to give away at our Zulies for the meet and greet, but since nobody came, we have these swag bags to give away.
Well, not just that, but we had, a couple Podkin who things happened and, couldn't show up, anyway, we have a few.
We have some swag bags, I think three of them.
Yeah, three full ones.
Full swag bags, Each has mostly the same things. They may have a few little variations here and there, like maybe somebody has a different oil than somebody else, or
but it's from the same shop. Or a different magazine, but it's still Witches and Pagans.
Yes, or like some piece here that's slightly different. I'm gonna go ahead and just go through really quickly.
Yeah, please. We want to say thank you so much to everyone who donated.
Yeah, we had
fantastic,
amazing sponsors, and several of the Podkin donated truly amazing things too. I'm just gonna tell you what all is here, because these are all the things in the swag bag, and you'll want to know this at the end of all this, because this is going to involve a contest. Woohoo! So, okay, let me tell you what's in these swag bags. There's a Javamancy kit, which is made by Carnivalia, which is a company owned by someone named Chaz Bogan, who is also connected with the Mystic Dream, which is where we held the event last year, the Podkin event last year. And of course, there's going to be links to all of these in the show notes, so you'll be able to find all these sponsors. And this Javamancy kit is super cool. It's this, basically, you throw coffee beans, depending on where they land, there are pictures connected, and you can do fortune telling with it. Mm-hmm. But I am not doing it justice by talking about it.
It's a really pretty board.
It's gorgeous.
All the pictures are kind of Victorian looking. So.
And it's such a cool divination method, and it's so clever. Camino de Yara, which is Carolina Gonzalez, it's her shop. She sent in some 3 Venezuelan Powers holy card sets. I can't do justice by telling you about them, because the art is really beautiful, and it gives a little history and background on these special powers that you can work with. There's a Stay With Me bath from the Curio and Candle Shop, which is Ms. Melanie's shop from Nashville.
It smells really good.
Really gorgeous smell. It's basically kind of a fidelity and love bath.
Mm-hmm.
There's some Lucky Green Rice sachets from Draconis Arcanum, from Ms. Rebecca, which is for luck and good fortune. There were a wide selection of handcrafted conjure condition oils from Candle Smoke Chapel,
mm-hmm.
which is the company I hesitate to call it a company. It is like handcrafted. It's like getting to go to like an old country store out in the country, and you walk in and there's this handcrafted just whatever you can imagine it would be, and they do these conjure oils, and they're all these gorgeous scents. They're using all natural ingredients. Mm-hmm. Joseph and Sarah Magnuson. Did I mention their names?
I don't think you did.
Okay. So for those who don't know, Joseph and Sarah Magnuson have been hugely involved in the conjure community, but they also work with a lot of like all natural, all herbal ingredients, and their stuff is just the super high quality stuff. Again, I'm probably not going to do justice to anything I talk about on here, but the smell of these oils, they did Van Van, they did Love, Sweet Love, they did Protection and Blessing Oil.
Psychic
Boost Oil.
Yeah, that was it.
And
I got the Van Van. I'm excited to try it.
It's gorgeous. Have you smelled it yet?
I don't think I opened it.
You should give it a schnoz. It's amazing. It's so good. And then we got a bunch of books and CDs as well, which were really good. Llewellyn sent us the 2014 Witch's Companion, which is a sort of like a highly expanded almanac.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very useful. There's an artist named Julia Eckler who sent us her CD Horse Tamer, which has some... It's sort of a mix between pop and folk. It's very very accessible. It has some sort of pagan-themed songs in there as well. You'll probably hear one of those in the show, actually. Kellyana, who I'm sure a lot of people listening to the show know, she sent us download cards for her CD Traditions, which is freaking amazing. You'll hear... If you don't hear songs from that in this episode, you will be hearing them in the Christmas episode, because they're... She basically went back and took these old style songs, like these old old ballads and old country English country songs and things like that, and re-recorded them. Sometimes that she would do them as duets with like Wendy Rule and people like that. Just it's beautiful. I think it's her best CD ever, but it's just me. Some guy named Peter Padden.
Never heard of him.
I know. He sent us this book called Enchantment. I guess it's okay. No, it's super cool. It's all about like using ritual gestures and like eye contact and things like that in magic. It's very cool. And then Red Wheel Wiser sent us two books. They sent us The Candle in the Crossroads, which is Orion Foxwood's book. Orion was one of the teachers at the Folk Magic Festival, and this is his book on sort of the mix of hoodoo and Appalachian conjure traditions.
Mm-hmm.
And then a really fun book called Banshees, Werewolves, Vampires, and Other Creatures of the Night by Varda Ventura, who has the best name ever. Almost, well, maybe she and Velma Nightshade rival each other for best pseudonym. And it's all about kind of things that go bump in the night. It's really fun. Then this other joker wrote this book called 54 Devils.
Whatevs. Give yourself some credit.
It's junk. Junk. It's not worth anything. If you want a signed copy, it's worth less than that. But anyway, so that's in there.
With a deck of cards.
Yes. Yeah, I did. I tried to put a deck of, a really unique deck of playing cards with each book.
And then in some of them, I don't know that I did enough for every single bag.
Oh yeah, you hand sewed little pouches for the bags, or for the cards.
Little card pouches, so.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, some of these bags may have a few things and that the others don't. Like, for example, I think one of the bags has a rubber ducky that looks like a witch, but it may not have the bag for the cards. So it's just, we kind of had to parcel it out where we had enough for each thing.
Right.
But they're all stuffed full of most of these
items.
Witches and Pagans magazine sent a bunch of copies of their magazine, so there's several editions of that in there.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, I also write for their blog space as well. They have a blog space over there, and I do a monthly column there. So they've been very, very nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
Jen Rue, who was supposed to come this year and did not get to come, and I adore her. I adore Jen. Sent us this herbal healing salve, which smells delicious, but I was really sad. I'll take the salve. The salve is cool, but I wish she had been here.
Yeah.
Just saying. But it's okay. So that's in there. Velma, from her new magical miscellany lamp, brought us a bunch of oils, and I think it was an incense, wasn't it? It was an incense.
Yeah, there
powder.
Was an oil and an incense, yeah. I believe.
Which is very cool. Kathleen, of course, she's a world traveler. She goes freaking everywhere. Mm-hmm. So she brought back a bunch of raw coconut oil from one of her travels, and then she brought back some pieces of obsidian that she just picked up off the side of the road, because that's what she does.
Yeah, in Nevada?
In Nevada, because she just randomly... Burning Man, she picked it up.
Oh, yeah, that's
Burning
right.
Man. So you've got Burning Man obsidian in there. There's some mini dowsing rods and portable spell kits from Francesca.
Which I think is awesome.
Who is another podcast who attended, and she's from the Texas Pagan Heretics. And her site, her actual company is called Vamp Raven's Nest. But these, like, the dowsing rods are awesome. They're like these tiny little metal dowsing rods.
I didn't see anything.
They're super cute. And the portable spell kit, like, has, like, it has, candles, incense.
Matches,
altar supplies. Like, it's everything you would need to do a quick ritual on the fly. And mm-hmm. it's in this tiny little Chinese takeout box, which mm-hmm. is super cute. And then, of course, Scarlett gave us some of her custom tarot decks as
yes.
well. So all of that, in some capacity, is in these bags. And it's awesome.
Very.
And we have three of them that we need to find homes for.
Yes.
So how are we going to do that?
We're going to give them away.
Yay! Do you want to tell a little bit about how we're going to do it?
Okay, so to help support the wonderful, generous people who donated, what we would like you to do is just support them. So buy something, you know, from any of the sponsors, and again, they'll be linked on the show notes if they're possible to be bought from. Like, I don't think you could buy Scarlett's deck necessarily.
No, but she does. I think she has an Etsy shop.
Okay.
That you could buy some of her other stuff through.
Okay, so.
But there may be a few people who don't actually have things that you can go out and buy, but.
Right.
But there's plenty of people you can, so.
Definitely. So, you know, do you want, like, an emailed picture?
Yeah, if you can either email or tweet. I'd say Facebook, but I'm fuzzy on how Facebook privacy settings work.
Yeah, don't do Facebook.
So don't do Facebook. But if you will email or tweet us a picture of you with a product from them that you purchased sometime after November 1st,
mm-hmm.
or barring the product, if you want to send a copy of the receipt, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, or like if you bought it on Etsy, you know, a screenshot of the
confirmation,
right,
or whatever.
Right, it is
know.
Fine.
Just something to show us, hey, you know, you're supporting. I mean, this doesn't, I'm not asking you to go out and spend, you know, $100 on something. But like, you know, if you buy Peter's book, you know, even if you buy it on Amazon, he still gets money for that mm-hmm. and helps him be able to continue to buy continue to publish the awesome books he does. So, you know, just, you know, let me see that you bought his book, and we'll put your name in the hat for a contest. As many things as you buy, I'll put your name in the hat for.
Mm-hmm.
And you can only win one swag bag. So even if your name gets pulled 20 times, you're still only get one swag bag if you win. And then I think we'll probably do a drawing for this. I was going to say December. That probably won't be enough time. So maybe our first show in January.
Okay.
So by the time we do our first show in January.
That's our
anniversary show.
Yeah, but how many? Like, is that
4 or 5? That'll be the beginning of our 5th year.
Ah! So that's our 4-year podiversary.
Yeah, 4-year podiversary. So we're going to say, I don't have my calendar easily handy, but we'll probably do it like around January 21st is basically what you're looking at. So anytime, and I'll put a definite date up on the website, and we'll mention it in the December show as well.
Okay.
But sometime around January 21st will be the cutoff, and we'll do the drawing.
Okay.
And 3 people get a chance to win these swag bags. Again, you heard how much stuff is in there. It's easily $100+ worth of stuff. And we'll ship it out to you. And, yeah. So that's...
Yeah, and we also have some extras of various other things that didn't, like, make a complete bag.
Right. Like, so we've got several copies of the Llewellyn book, The Witch's Companion for 2014, which will be giving away via Twitter, Facebook, email contests. We'll have little mini contests that we're running probably mostly between now and the holiday season, honestly. Yeah. Because the link is stocking stuffers.
Exactly.
So definitely keep an eye on our Twitter feed, which is at NWWitchery. And our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/NewWorldWitchery.
Yeah, I'm not on there.
No, you're not on there.
And the blog, which is NewWorldWitchery.com.
Yeah, those will be the best ways to find out about all this. We hope that this has been a fun little tour around New Orleans with us. We're not experts on New Orleans, except the French Quarter, which we are complete experts on now. but it was a lot of fun. If you get a chance to go, definitely go to New Orleans. It is amazing. And I hope this show has helped capture some of that magic.
Yeah.
But until next time, I guess we'll just say thanks for listening.
Be well.
Yack-a-dee-yack-a-dee-yack in New Orleans, my hometown, you know, the land of the red beans. Don't forget those ham and greens down in New Orleans.